Hello, fellow DeGrasse holes, and welcome to Last Shift at the Dot. Here, we'll talk through Degrassi, the Next Generation, from beginning to end. We're talking about the episodes, the characters, the actors, and all of the drama. We're going to give you what you came for. Who here is ready to do whatever it takes?
That helmet.
I'm here for the drams.
This drama week, means. Not many of y'all are here to do whatever it takes. There's only three of us. It is me, your host, Nina, Natasha, and Stefan. And we are covering the episode, How Soon Is Now?, which deals with some heavy content. So trigger warning, this is a continuation of Paige's sexual assault. So we're going to have to talk about it. So be prepared or skip this episode. But before we jump into that heavy shit, let's introduce ourselves. Let's say what we're drinking. And for my question this week, what I came up with is share a story about either the weirdest group project you had to do or the one that turned out to be the biggest disaster, if you recall that from your schooling days. So whoever wants to start.
I have a few.
Weird ones or disasters?
Well, like, we did a lot of, like, video projects for school, so I have, like, a few that I can think of. But one kind of funny one where I think I'm just being messy is, remember we had a project, and we had to pick a poem for something, like, any poem, and we had to analyze it and, like, dissect it in front of the class and have, like, a PowerPoint or whatever. And I think Nina and my dad really liked The Doors, and I thought, like, Jim Morrison was attractive. I was like, oh, he's good looking. And I remember they said he did poetry. So I like asked you, or I asked my father, like, did he ever do a poem? And one of you gave me a poem. I got it. And I did my presentation on it. And it tickled me because in my PowerPoint, I got to put a shirtless man and have it like projected on our screen. And that just made me feel good because we were in a very conservative school and that would never happen. So I always had like little loopholes where I just put like attractive men in places so I can ogle at them.
Yeah. I remember you also had, she had a trapper keeper full of Jude Law pictures.
Wow.
She left in like the classroom once. So this math teacher who hated both of us hands it to me and was like, I think this is your sister's. And I was like, yeah, that's probably hers. And it was just like a collage.
I remember the one picture I had was from like an Us Weekly and they asked him five things and he took the whole page. So I put that as the main one and then some other ones. Yeah. I was here to just put my current crush somewhere known.
I mean, that's the most important part of school projects, right?
Yeah.
I guess I'll go next. Hi, it's your friendly neighborhood Stefan here. Drinking some Johnny Walker Double Black. And the weirdest, it's hard to say what is weird and weirdest because theater majors, everything we do is kind of weird. Mm-hmm. But I remember in costume class, we had to make costumes out of like, as a group, I think it was a three-person group, we had to make costumes out of like trash bags or some shit like that. And we dressed them on one person. And we ended up dressing them on, I guess, I don't know him anymore well enough to use his full name, but we'll call him Bobbert. So we did that and we dressed him up as a nurse. And the character he created from that was Nurse Nipples Nightingale.
Wow.
You know, Bobbert was really in touch with their, like, you know, it's weird because he's like so like quiet and shy, but then all of a sudden he's like, I'm a bit of a dom.
Oh,
I'm into some kinky shit.
So like the nurse outfit kind of emboldened him basically to go full
Nipples Nightingale.
Oh, Bobbert.
You go, Bobbert.
Was it just a standard, like a standard looking nurse costume or like a sexy?
It was a garbage bag. Out of a garbage bag.
Oh.
It was well over like, what, 15 years ago at this point because I'm old. So I'm trying to piece together what exactly happened in my mind. I think that was it. I think I might even be getting all of this wrong because honestly, I don't remember projects. I don't remember anything that involves a group. Because I blocked it out of my memory.
That's fair. I mean,
I don't think I had like bad group projects in like college because that wasn't too often.
Yeah.
And it was always with people I didn't really know at all. But like we all were just like strangers that we were polite to each other in a way. Mm-hmm. Like, we were just like, all right, I'll do this, you do this, this is this, and we won't talk.
And, like, never talk again.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah. I only did one of those in, like, one of those lecture hall classes. So it's like, oh, I'm a theater major. You're into quantum physics. All right, we're never going to talk.
Basically.
Exactly. I didn't share what I was drinking. I'm having a Grenache, the same as our host.
Yes. We are in the same place for once, so we're both having a Grenache today, and it's very good.
Mr. Jackson, if you're Grenache-y.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
And, well, so I came up with the question, but then I actually couldn't remember any projects I had, but luckily, Natasha did. So, as she mentioned, we went to a very conservative Islamic school, and so we had a class that's basically, like, the equivalent of, like, Bible studies, but Islamic studies. And our teacher said to basically, like, make any type of project in any, like, mixed media form or whatever representing Hajj and, like, the pilgrimage to Mecca. And me and my best friend at the time were really messy and just stupid, and we wanted to be filmmakers. So we just kind of used this as an opportunity to try to, like, make a film using Barbie dolls of all different types. And so we had one Justin Timberlake marionette doll, because it was, like, from that era. No Strings Attached. It was, like, a really weird doll. We had an Aladdin Barbie doll.
You had my Barbie, the tour guide Barbie that I, like, was so annoying about. I was like, no one could touch this Barbie. Yeah. And I was like, you can't.
Tour guide Barbie.
I was like, I'll let you borrow it, but you can't, like, ruin anything.
Yeah. And we basically made a really messy video that I think only barely mentioned Hajj, but, like, at the end of the day was probably pretty offensive. And I remember showing it to the entire class. And then I remember the teacher, I won't say her name, but I remember the teacher just being speechless at the end of the class and still giving us a good grade, but just not even wanting to, like, comment on how offensive we probably were and how we didn't even, like, really show anything about the pilgrimage.
Definitely was not accurate. I think took some dramatizations.
We took some liberties with the process of pilgrimage, for sure. Like, it doesn't involve sleeping in a tent with Justin Timberlake marionette dolls, but we had that in there. So that was my messy project. I somehow got a good grade in.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm. But that concludes our question and answer. So now we have to go into the really sad storyline of this episode. That Stop laughing. It's serious. Okay. It all is very serious. Okay. So this episode starts with Paige reading a letter that Miss Sauvay is having her do as part of her counseling sessions. And it's like a letter to Dean, her rapist, for those of you who forgot, on all the things she wishes she could say to him. And basically, Paige, at this point in her healing process, has said that she's learned to not blame herself. But at the same time, she tells Miss Sauvay that because she doesn't blame herself, she thinks she no longer needs to attend these sessions with her. So that's the beginning. Miss Sauvay does disagree with this notion and says, I'm going to still give you an appointment anyway.
She shut it down, which was good. Or she was like, you know.
Mm-hmm. She was still, like, committed to doing her job at this point.
Mull on it.
Yeah.
Miss Sauvay is, like, legit part of the staff.
Yeah. Well,
like, she pops up once every so often. She's not, like, a homegirl in Degrassi, what was it, Degrassi Next Class, who's always like, we were looking at your socials and you seem depressed. Or, hey, we're just here to help all of you in the rubber room. Ask for me, but I'm going to come to you. Miss Sauvay is like, I'm going to take my free time for myself.
I mean, I think she technically has more storylines than, like, Nadia and stuff, because she's, like, involved in shit here and there.
But she's, like, she's, like, a per diem, like, guidance counselor or something. Because, like, when do we see her other than Paige? Oh, she's the shooting?
Yeah, she's at the school shooting. She's been helping out. So I think she does a good job.
So opening credits. And after the credits, we see Paige and JT, like, joking around in the hallway, and he's doing, like, some weird mime shit. Like, he's doing his, like, usual, like, jokes that are from, like, the 50s or some shit, like, is where you're like, why is he doing this? But somehow she's being nicer to him, And like, she doesn't call him a name for the first time, and she acknowledges his presence, which he even like calls out. And I do think one of the things I wanted to point out about this episode is I really do think that Paige and JT have way better chemistry than like a lot of the boys she is with.
And even he's got better chemistry with her than a lot of the girls he's with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But they like have banter and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like
they have like a banter and like kind of a cute dynamic. But Paige also runs into Spinner and Marco and compliments Spinner on the bleached hair. So this is the first episode of Spinner's bleached hair phase. Like really bleached.
Like Tom DeLonge at some point.
I don't know how his hair recovered from that, but.
Eminem, Spinner, Eminem.
Marshall.
Like, it's bad.
Or Kevin Mathers.
Kevin.
Marshall Spinner.
So that's our A plot. Our B plot starts with, oh my God, I wrote in my notes Paige and Ellie. This is stupid. But anyway, Marco and Ellie are presenting a mock like product and ad campaign to Mr. Simpson for like a perfume called Duet. And Mr. Simpson says it's wonderful and that they need to film an ad for it. So they get like right to brainstorming. Like these two are always in sync. And Craig turns around and is like, "You lovebirds bring tears to my eyes." And, you know, we start to, well, all of a sudden we do remember that they're in a fake relationship from the last.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he like gives her a little kiss on her hand.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
everyone should have known they're just creative partners. They got their project done so fast. They're mm-hmm. like no one's got to stage two. I have to make up stage two.
Yeah,
film it.
I mean, really, he kind of did on the fly. He was like, yeah, now you should film it.
They were a real couple, they'd be too busy macking on each other.
Boinking. Yeah, they would mm-hmm. be.
Instead, he's like, "Let's work on this project so we don't have to touch." Your vagina has teeth, Ellie.
Well, even his concept that we'll learn later, he's like, "I want all the girls here, like just everyone."
Yeah, well, we're going to get to the concept, but from this interaction that like where Craig compliments them, you still get the sense by how Ellie reacts that she's not really getting that this is a fake relationship and that Marco is gay. Like she's still kind of smiling and happy about the compliments that people are giving her about this relationship. So keep that in the back of your mind. At cheer practice though, Paige is like crushing the choreography and being cheer captain and all of that when Spinner informs her and Hazel that there's another sports tournament at school and that they are going to be playing Bardell. So Dean will presumably be at this event, and Paige immediately kind of freaks out, understandably.
Mm-hmm.
For her.
Mm-hmm. And also Spinner says it like, "Your boyfriend's back," which I thought, like, he's still so bitter.
Like that, dude, that was the beginning of the season. That was 20 episodes ago.
And they never even like dated. Like it was just like she flaked on their date, but like he's holding on to this. Like they actually had a thing at this point. So yeah.
It's like a little too much. And he's like that throughout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Spinner says this comment, you know, Paige is understandably like a little rattled by this and immediately goes to Miss Sauvé's office again. And Miss Sauvé is like, "I just saw you." And Paige inquires about actually pressing charges. So we kind of learned that like at this point, Paige is only dealing with this trauma by like talking with the guidance counselor. She has not actually done anything legally with Dean, but she says, "How do you go about pressing charges?" And Miss Sauvé explains like the process and the odds that she would have to beat in this kind of case, you know, since they didn't get a DNA sample and all of that. And Paige is even more dejected, like, after this meeting. So not only is she going to see Dean, she kind of is feeling a little helpless, I guess, that she can't really, like, teach him a lesson in any way. She can't really find justice for herself.
It's real as hell.
It is. Yeah.
It's hard out here. Mm-hmm. And, like, dude, can someone cut Paige a fucking break?
Yeah.
Like, she needs some time to process. To process this. And I'm glad she's been getting therapy, or I mean, get help from the school guidance counselor, but also I think she needs like therapy beyond the school guidance counselor.
Yeah. And,
like, the fact that she hasn't even told her mom, you know?
Yeah, she hasn't even like told her mom. I think they did mention that she went to a doctor to just make sure like she didn't have any injuries. But like, yeah, school guidance counselor, I feel like that is maybe not as equipped to deal with how much she's dealing with. I don't know. I mean,
yeah, I feel like guidance counselors don't provide guidance. They're just like, okay, we're going to get your transcripts together for college.
Exactly. Well, they combine like the role of guidance counselor and like school psychologist.
I did have a note because I wanted to ask you guys, I'm like, do school counselors learn all this?
Yeah.
I was like, she knows the whole process down. Like, I'm like, maybe they're taught things like this, but I'm like, are they? I'm like, it's a lot.
I feel like there's certain things that they're like, okay, here's some things you should know.
Yeah. But
and yeah.
She should be going to like outside therapy too or something. Like,
yeah.
She's a professional therapist who deals in sexual assault trauma.
Yeah. So
not like a therapist who's like, hey, I deal with girls with, you know, or not girls, but like I deal with people who like parents have gotten divorced. Like, no, that's not your specialty. You need someone who's good with things down your lane.
Yeah.
So Ms. Ove got it all.
Yeah, they definitely, I don't know, the school cut corners and combined a couple jobs, which we know they do from like every other episode with the teachers, like having to fill multiple roles. So
Ms. Kwan having to teach English and teach drama.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And like set like classes at night and yeah, and be hall monitor and cafeteria monitor, like they're doing a lot. So back to the B plot, we open this scene with Ashley walking down the steps looking hideous, like not the actress, not Melissa DeMarco. You're very pretty, your outfit was not it for this scene, and somehow like I couldn't like focus on anything else because she's just like, we're still in this evolution of Ashley and she's just getting more and more like the Crow, like she looks like something out of The Crow or whatever.
She did, and I normally would be like, oh, that's like a cool coat, but I'm like, somehow can't be do all black, like she needed to pop some color in there.
Yeah.
Oh god, she looked like Moira Rose doing The Crows.
Yes,
she did.
She really did. It was just so severe, like that haircut, like you need to soften these things, like if you're gonna have that coat, you maybe need like a lighter hair color or something,
like coming in like a dementor.
Yes,
from the Degrassi front door.
So,
oh my god, dear socials, can one of y'all find out how to make this a thing, how to make a picture of like Ashley in the Moira Rose Crow outfit?
I'll try to do something. It might not be a high quality.
It doesn't have to be.
It's Degrassi. This isn't high quality TV.
No, that's true.
Yeah, so despite that, this scene isn't even about Ashley, but like I had to talk about it. This scene is actually about Ellie. So Ashley, you know, she's like talking with Ellie. Ellie's like,
sorry, you mean Ashley making something about her that isn't about her?
even subconsciously, like she somehow stole this scene, but not in a good way.
Yeah, they had her looking like she was going to have a plot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she came through. But yeah, Ellie's doing her storyboard shit.
Yeah,
I was like, wow, it's not that serious.
I know, Ellie was doing, like, full storyboards. I was like, this is intense. And Ashley and her, like, talking when Marco comes by and says to Ellie, this is some of my mom's, like, eggplant parmesan. I know you really love it. And there's enough for both of you, which that's marriage material.
I would be like, I would agree with Ashley. I'd be like, wow, your boyfriend,
like,
keeper.
Yeah.
That's like, I'm sorry, Marco, you're trying to put on an Italian accent and it's bad. Get some of my mother's eggplant parmigiana. Like, have you seen that? Have you seen that thing of that guy who's like, I got some Trader Joe's cacio e pepe?
No, I have not seen that.
I have to find it, but he's literally like, cacio e pepe, gonna go take a shit, eh? Like, it's ridiculous. He tries so hard.
He really did, like, all of a sudden change his voice, say that, but that's what he does. Ashley does make the comment, oh, you guys are clearly meant for one another. So again, they're getting all this feedback from those around them and their friends that they're just, like, the perfect couple, but it's too perfect, as we all know.
Yeah.
So back to the A plot, though. JT runs into Paige again. She's no longer being, you know, kind of flirty and cute with him. She's now rolling her eyes and giving him attitude. And JT is never one to just give up, especially when it comes to girls and especially when it comes to Paige. So he keeps following her like a puppy dog and is like, why are you upset? And I guess she finally is just like, it's about a guy. And he's like, did he dump you or something? And she's like, or something. And JT, he tries to encourage her and he was like, you just give him some of that like old-fashioned Paige sass or whatever. She just kind of like looks at him and then he walks away. So this is like the closest she's gotten to telling anyone, it seems, outside of basically at this point Ashley and Hazel and Miss Sauvé.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what we've seen of her admitting this.
JT got like legit 2 seconds of niceness.
Mm-hmm.
Poor kid.
Yeah.
Honestly, all of JT's like sweet feelings go to Paige. He's a bitch to everyone else in the world and kind of the worst person. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to Paige, he's like, I'm here to be supportive for you.
Yeah.
You need a friend. I'm going to be your friend.
Yeah. I mean, I
think she's flirting back too. I think the beginning of the episode also was like, maybe she was feeling comfortable, like having crushes again and like maybe going out on a date.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? So I think that's why she's feeling JT a little bit.
Yeah.
But then she was like, oh no, I got to compliment Spinner.
Yeah.
I can't be talking with a grade eight like this.
God, there had to be other options though than Spinner. Like if you needed an upgrade from JT.
I mean, I'm surprised Paige never went for Jimmy.
I'm surprised. That would have been the Degrassi power couple. Like, for real.
Oh yeah, they would have owned shit, like Paige and her like fashionistaist and like Jimmy and his money.
Yeah,
exactly. They could have meshed too,
and them being like the MVP of like all of the sports teams. Like, it's weird that they don't really interact that much, actually, like whatever past season.
And they're surprisingly like the most tolerant people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like
the episode we watched, like with the actual like trial.
Oh my god,
the actual trial. And like at some point she like thinks that maybe she doesn't want to go through with it or skip something, and Jimmy was like the one who was like remembered. He's like, don't you have something today? And I was like, yeah, that's so nice. Like I like you remember. I'm like, they're close this group.
Yeah like they really do keep tabs on one another. And like, yeah, Jimmy and Paige really don't ever do anything super problematic when it comes to like I can't think of them. Like Jimmy was like the only one who was very comfortable with Marco being gay like right away and not give him any issues with that. So
as we know, Ellie was not that way.
Yeah, and even Paige was all like when they were talking about Farisa's hijab, she wasn't, you know, making, she wasn't going in on it.
Yeah,
she's like, you offended me.
Exactly. Yeah.
So those are our good people. Those are our, it's weird when like the rich douchebag and, you know, the bitchy popular girl are actually the good people in school.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's why we love this show. Just as a side note, listeners, we have Degrassi on in the background as we always do. And like while Natasha was talking, first I saw fucking Joey Jeremiah jumping on his keyboards trying to join Craig's band. And then immediately cut to Manny walking around with her thong for the first time.
Is it on Pluto?
Yeah, it's on Pluto right now.
I'm just going to put my Pluto on in the background.
Yeah, we have it on mute. It's just so calming. I'll keep her thong. Let's keep it on.
So, yeah.
You're just jealous.
You're just jealous. Well, we have one of those in this episode.
Sorry, guys.
We'll have to drink to that. So where were we? Oh, okay. Back to the B plot. We are now at Ellie starting to film Marco in this ad. And she has been designated director. He's the performer. And he is twirling around, like literally twirling with some feather boas, with just like,
he's having a jolly time.
I don't even know what that outfit was. It's supposed to be Bollywood themed, I think. But it's just very colorful, very bright, and he's really happy. And
that's a word for it.
He's happy as hell.
Yeah. But like
happy AF.
He keeps having issues, like, I guess, delivering the line. So he says that he's having issues because he doesn't have Heather Sinclair in front of him, who I guess is going to be opposite him.
And the dancers.
In this commercial. Like, he needs Heather Sinclair and all the dancers.
He needs to feed off their energy. He's like, I'm an actor, baby.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Performer. So Ellie says, let me stand in and you can rehearse this line. So she stands in and he performs his line, and he says, in Marco's attempt to be sultry, something something, sing a duet, whatever it was,
share a scent, sing a duet,
share a scent, sing a duet. And somehow the this is enough to make Ellie just smitten and hit him with a kiss on the lip.
Yeah,
out of nowhere.
With the cameras rolling.
Yeah, and it's immediately awkward. Like, he just kind of stands there frozen. She walks back to the camera and is like, oh, okay, let's from the top, you know, whatever. it's a weird moment with them.
He was out here looking like Harry Styles with that outfit mm-hmm. and his boa. But one thing that they kept consistent is that Marco is into Bollywood. Like, that has
they
not
do.
Changed.
Yeah, Marco mm-hmm. was always into Bollywood. But yeah, so cut to the next morning. Paige hasn't slept. She's really stressed out. You know, she's having a lot of flashbacks to the rape, you know, and everything's like kind of coming back. And right when she gets to school, all the buses pull up and she sees Dean right away. And of course, Dean being like the monster that he is, can't just leave this girl alone, has to approach her and Hazel and, you know, bring up, quote, fun they had at the party or whatever. And, you know, Paige is like, you called that fun? And he says, you know, Hazel was there and can corroborate his story. I don't know why he's like referring to Hazel as like backup, but he was just like, you were there. Everyone saw a girl who wanted all of this, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Just nasty.
Like,
yeah, just.
Why do you have to add insult to injury, Dean? Like, you already raped her. Why are you trying to like rub it in her face? Shut the fuck up.
Like, it's actually like really bizarre because it's just in this episode and then other episodes, he's like constantly trying to engage with her. And it's just like,
leave it.
You would think, I mean, I don't know. I don't know the mind of a rapist, but I'm just like, I would think you want to avoid interaction.
Lay low around
yeah,
her.
Yeah. If you clearly know that she, you know, yeah, like didn't take away from that incident what you did.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's like constantly insulting her. He's like, go shake your pom-poms, blah blah blah. He's like really, really arrogant right now.
The actor plays him so good.
The actor plays him a little too well that I'm just like, yeah. Why are you so good at your line delivery? For
he needed to be on like one of those team, like Not Another Teen Movie, that era films. He could have been an actor on that.
Like that.
I mean, he's basically like a young, rapey version of Chris, whatever his name is.
Evans?
That's it.
Kind of. I got what you mean.
Yeah, there's so many Chris's. It's really hard to keep them all straight.
Like, he has that acting ability. Like, yeah. He could have been in one of those movies.
Yeah, like, he's very good at playing, like, this frat boy douchebag. Like, too well. But
oh my god, I would love to see him in like a straight to video fourth Van Wilder movie.
Yes.
See, I can see that for him. I wonder, like, well, all I remember is maybe we discussed this on the other episode we covered with him, that he is the boyfriend of Rogue that she like kind of accidentally, I guess, killed of X-Men, like the very first X-Men. Like, that was like, I was watching that with Perino earlier this year and I was like, that's fucking deep.
And he was in some movie that I didn't even watch 5 minutes of it, but my mom was watching it, but it was with Elliot Page. And I was like, what are you watching? And I looked it up because I was like, is that Dean? And it was.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Juno too, not keeping it to full term.
I mean, both are Canadian. So I'm like, it could make
Canadian production.
Maybe it was Jay and Silent Bob Go Canadian, eh?
Hey.
I can't with that movie. I'm not covering that episode.
No, it's going to be the best. It's one of the few, like, ridiculous golden gems that they managed to not just get these two actors, but then they did the movie within the movie situation. And then they were there for, like, 7 episodes at least.
They had an arc.
They had an arc where Kevin Smith plays himself and get, like, it's just, it is the most bizarre thing. Like, we have a friend who's like watching Degrassi, I guess, kind of for the first time.
Yeah, I'm Pluto.
And he like just got to that storyline and like he's really big into like films and stuff. And he just like, he cannot wrap his head around like Kevin Smith playing himself, getting with Caitlin Ryan.
He's like, Kevin Smith really got paid to like live out his fantasy
of like his like a childhood crush. Like, it's just, it's bizarre. And also creepy, because he was married at the time. I remember looking that up. So I was just like, this is really weird that he was married the entire time. He has children. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, anyways, this fucking show.
Oh, yeah. So, okay. So it's the next morning. So, you know, like we already have Paige running into Dean. And we now also have Ellie bringing in a new storyboard with a minimalist take on their perfume or cologne ad. And poor Marco has think, what happened to Heather and all the dancing girls? Like he's really sad about it and dejected. And Ellie says, Duet was getting lost in all the glitz. She's being bitchy right now. And, you know, he even kind of like counters with her, like it doesn't make any sense with like the name of the perfume, like it's Duet. They had this whole high concept of like a movie and mm-hmm. and it being colorful and romantic. And now it's just kind of like a stark ad that, you know, like basically every perfume ad. So he has his reservations, but Marco was like, you're the director, so I'm gonna trust you on this, because he's nice. He's a lot nicer than I would be. So then we also cut to Spinner, and this is an interaction you don't get a lot of. Spinner talking to Hazel, maybe for the first time ever, but he's
Hazel
like
having a line.
Yeah, he's like still bitching about Paige ditching him. Like he goes up to Hazel and like out of nowhere is just like, oh, I bet she's like with her boyfriend or she's talking to Dean or like whatever. And Hazel's just like, well, first Hazel's like, get off it, like what is happening? And he's just like, yeah, like she ditched me, and you know, to go after Dean. And Hazel, I think Hazel like fed up at this point with Spinner, and she's just like, you know what, that's not what happened. How about if she said no? And Spinner, still being like a self-involved boy, is like, the only person she said no to was me, and walks away like
And he pretty much said like he didn't believe it. He's like, oh no, like they went alone and didn't do anything. I forgot what he said, but he like implied that he just did not believe that, and he might have been mad still, but that's still horrible to hear.
And he's also like, they went upstairs, but he's also just like clinging on to this like rumor or whatever that like they had sex. He doesn't have any like real information on what happened, like just he's heard bits and pieces, you know, over the last year, I guess, but he's really just like assuming that she went upstairs, she had sex, and then whatever. And I think like that's why Hazel, like us, the audience, was like, we're tired of hearing this shit from him.
Okay, so I'm gonna have to recant an earlier statement about Jimmy not necessarily being problematic, because I'm like, first off, he heard it from Jimmy, and Jimmy was the guy who was like, you're a slut. Sluts were girls who cheat on their boyfriends.
Oh, damn.
So, you know, I mean, don't take Jimmy's word for it, Spin.
That's true. But Ashley did cheat on him.
I'm good, yeah, like.
And wait, Ashley didn't cheat on him.
Huh?
Yeah, she did.
Wait.
Ashley,
oh, yeah. Did. Oh, never mind. Oh, I'm thinking of,
Did he call someone a slut twice? Because when he was like, don't talk to me, you fucking slut.
Like,
oh, he didn't say that word.
But that was when they weren't dating, when he was like, don't talk to me, slut.
Oh, yeah, he did say that, but not that he should have called her that, but she did cheat on him. Like, he's
because
knew that shit happened.
As the lines go, because we memorized them, she's like, I'm not your girlfriend. And he's like, you were when you messed around with Sean. And like at that party, so like he shouldn't have called her a slut, but like I kind of get why he was pissed off, because that's when she accepted the date with Sean, like that episode where she was trying to make amends with everyone, whatever, a better
amends.
That was bad though, but yeah. But he's also just spreading rumors, and being like they fucked.
Yeah, basically. So now we're this scene. So now we're filming Ellie's version of the commercial. It is like black turtleneck, you know, like blue filter, sunglasses, very like overdone in film school aesthetic. And Marco can't keep a straight face. Oh, that's a good pun. He can't keep a straight face.
Title of the episode, Marco can't keep a straight face.
My notes and read it, and then I was like, wow, you what did you write?
Well, he couldn't think he was straight. He could never.
Okay, like
he didn't.
He could not keep a straight face. But also because her dialogue was really bad. So I guess she changed the dialogue too, because she said something, he had to say the line that includes like absorbing each other, and he said this sounds like a tampon ad, like which it does.
Yeah.
And they start kind of going back and forth. And he's like, look, I've tried this version of yours. I don't understand why we can't just like get Heather here. The thing's called Duet. There should be two people in the commercial. And then we have Ellie say her big line. I'll have you read it.
Me?
I wrote it word for word for you.
She said, "You may not like what you're doing here, but it's way better than some flaming."
Yeah. So she catches herself after saying flaming. And then Marco's face is like, this is what this is really about. And like, this is why she's actually mad and being a bitch to him. And he says, "You're mad because I can't be someone you want me to be." And she says,
"Can't or won't."
Yeah.
Ellie, girl, you sad bitch.
She's just, but then she's taking it out with her shitty project. Like,
yeah, like,
they didn't get lost in the glitz. When you're doing a school project, you're pulling all the stops.
Yeah.
She was just like in a mood and just wanted to change everything up and piss him off. Like, do whatever he wouldn't like.
And then here's my thing. Why did she change it? Because, like, the thing is, they had their awkward kiss, but it still didn't really make sense to change it. Like, I thought, like, in my memory, for some reason, I thought maybe it was more like if he had to kiss, like, Heather Sinclair or something like that, and she's getting jealous and she changes it. But I'm just like, after they have their, like, little incident with the Bollywood version, I still don't know why she would change it. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Ellie doesn't make any sense. I think she's trying to... Initially, I was like, okay, so maybe she's feeling a ways about this and never getting her way, because this is obviously all that Marco wanted was a Bollywood fantasy. And she's like, well, you know what? I'm going to have it my way instead, since he's, you know, not going to love me. The least I can do is have my shitty Calvin Klein ad.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was like every Calvin Klein ad. And I was just like...
But I feel like it's a little spiteful, because she did everything that he didn't like. Like, he wanted... He was all about the Bollywood theme, the colors, the dancing. And she did it very different.
But the thing that I'm, like, confused about now... is I feel like what I didn't like realize like when I was younger is like they still had a script where if presumably he's dancing with girls and he's supposed to like have this like whole scene with Heather Sinclair, right? Like he's still acting out like some straight version of like a Bollywood couple. And yet she's still like she's just kind of like calling the whole concept gay in a like pejorative way.
Yeah,
that's why like it pissed me off, because I was like, she's not just like insulting him, like she's just kind of being a judgy bitch, like in so many forms right now.
Ellie, a judgy bitch? Ellie? Never.
Well, just like when I watched it, I was like, he's supposed to be like standing with Heather Sinclair. Like, what's her problem right now? I don't know. That's why I was talking about jealousy. Like, I didn't think it was like, I don't know, whatever.
I mean, listen, maybe Ellie is just acting out because her mom's drinking again. Or maybe this is when her mom started drinking. Marco comes over, her mom was drunk and was like, so, you dating that little gay over there?
Yeah.
And it probably made Ellie feel away.
Maybe that little marathon we had yesterday was good, because we also watched the episode with Ellie's mom going to the PTA drunk.
Yeah.
And like what she said to Ashley's dads, she's like, do they even let you in the military?
Yeah. That's
like
she
was going like off. So I'm like, maybe it's her head a bit, but she doesn't mean it in a horrible way like her mom.
Ellie probably does come from like a pretty like homophobic household. They probably like, you know, that shit all the time.
Yeah.
Especially with her dad in the Canadian Army or whatever. I feel like the Canadian Army is most armies tend to be very very butch and super homophobic.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like
her mom was also just like,
her mom was going like, she was just,
we were just like, damn.
Yeah,
like,
we were
like a mom's going all
fun fact. That actress was also in an episode of Queer as Folk as Brian's sister, who also said a lot of very homophobic things.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I was going to say, maybe like she's not homophobic.
No, she was bad then. She's bad. She just plays worse people.
She just has that like homophobic Karen vibe or something. So they keep casting her as that.
I won't make a wedding cake for y'all.
So we have this interaction with Ellie and Marco, and that's where they leave off, and it's an uncomfortable scene, I will say. At lunch, you got Paige and Hazel, and Paige is pissed at Hazel because she's like, wait, you told Spinner what happened? Which wasn't really Hazel's place to say, but I think Hazel was just like, I think Hazel was getting tired of hearing people call her friend loose or a slut or whatever, you know, for no reason, when they had no context into like what happened. So like Hazel was trying to be, in her own way, a good friend. And so Paige is like, now knowing that, like, Spinner knows, I'm just going to go home. But as she turns around to go home, she sees Dean talking to none other than Miss Manuela Santos.
Hi, Manuela.
Very good. A little chat.
They were having a little chat. It was very flirty. Like, she was like, you know, she had her pom poms.
Yeah, I want to ask Nina what she thought Dean's nickname was for Manny. I'm like, he probably has a little nickname for her.
Yeah.
And we said it was, he's probably like, oh, you're so cute in that like uniform, but you're a spicy mama underneath. Like, he's probably saying some stupid shit like that.
Yeah, you know, it's like mildly racist or something. But I'm sure he had a nickname for her right away too. But
my little Olympia.
Yeah. So
I was just like, you can just see him. I was like, he has a fucking little nickname for Manny. That's what I'm like, mm-hmm. Paige did what she had to do.
Yeah, so after Paige.
Oh god. Now I've just got this image like how Dean goes to Paige, he's like, hey Spirit. He goes to me like, hey Olympia.
Yeah, that's what I thought. We were like, we know he's got a nickname probably for everyone. Like, everyone he's trying to hit on. So, yeah. So, Paige right away confronts Manny and is like, hey, I saw you talking to Dean. And Manny's like, yeah. Like, she's, you know, she's feeling herself because of that. And Paige is like, look, you need to be careful around him. Don't be alone with him. Just, I know from experience, and I should have listened to people who tried to warn me. Mm-hmm. And Manny, bless her, she's like, I know you went on a date, and I know he didn't call you back, and I know you're just jealous. And this starts probably the first time Manny starts saying you're just jealous to everyone. Mm-hmm. So everyone,
yeah.
Take a drink. You're just jealous.
You're just jealous.
You're just jealous. And cuckoo bananas.
And cuckoo bananas. So
she was feeling herself, though. She's like, he's talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I can't stop watching that stupid, like, Degrassi Dolls TikTok, where it's those...
Oh, yeah. That was funny.
Those were really good.
Well done.
You're just jealous. And cuckoo bananas.
You watch me
lies. I'm done. I'm going to stop. I'm going to watch that after we're done with this.
Send it to us again.
Yes. Group.
So after she tries to warn Manny, we're now at this, like, pep rally or, like, a tournament? You know, and JT's in his mascot uniform, Hazel's in her cheerleader uniform, and they realize that Paige isn't there. And so JT is like, I'll go find her. And he runs into Paige, like, as she's trying to leave the school. And again, he does that thing, like, he's not going to leave her alone until she kind of tells him what's going on. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, he's just like, no, tell him what's wrong. Like, you're upset.
Or laughs or something.
Yeah, so he... You know, he sits down with her and Paige actually tells him, you know, what happened. She says that, you know, Dean's a rapist. That's what happened to me. And little JT decides that he himself in this Panther costume is going to beat up Dean for what he did to Paige. And he starts beating up. Well, he doesn't start beating up. He starts attempting to beat up Dean. And you actually just see Dean laughing at these, like, little punches coming from the Panther costume.
He kept missing.
Like, Dean just easily, like, puts him on the ground and, you know, just...
He's about to, like, disfigure him.
Yeah.
Before Mr. Armstrong comes out.
Yeah.
I was like, he's gonna be fucking punched in the face.
Yeah,
like blown in.
So they, you know, tell Matt, they tell a mascot, they tell JT, you know, whatever, your detention, or, and then they tell Dean, you're out of this game. So Dean storms out, Paige storms out, and Spinner follows Paige storming out. And I feel like this is actually when it dawns on Spinner that maybe the version of events everyone else was telling him isn't actually what occurred, because he finally goes up to Paige and he's like, you seem really hurt or like upset. Mm-hmm. And so, is what Hazel said true? And mm-hmm. She says yes. And then Spinner tries to go after Dean. So this is the second attempt on Dean's life today.
Well, he had more of a chance.
He did have more of a chance because he at least got him like backed up against
the bus.
Yeah, like he was able to pin him, and he was gonna probably try to punch him when Paige stopped it. And she said, like, she will actually try to come after him. And not the way that they did. Like, she's gonna, you know, she's basically threatening
him.
She
said, you better lawyer up, asshole.
Yeah, basically, like, lawyer up, asshole. That's how that confrontation went. And we don't see Dean for a while after that.
No, not till the trial and that episode, which is also the two-parter. You get to see what college he goes to. Woo!
Mm-hmm. TU. But like, so here's the thing is, all right, so Spinner's going and trying to beat up Dean, and Paige is like, stop, baby, stop, or whatever. And Spinner has his whole breakdown that's like, oh, like, I'm Violet too, I'm just like him. Like, that came the fuck out of nowhere. Because Dean was never violent, he was a rapist.
Yeah, and
so like, why are you making this about you, Spin?
Exactly. Why is this about you right now? Like, this is not about you. Like,
mm-hmm. You know, that was a weird writing twist. Like, that would make sense if he was like beating up someone who was like abusive. Like, if it were Rick, that would have made sense.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But like, yeah, he says that and he makes it about himself, which I just think is like, yeah, like it's a really weird move for someone who just got like basically the truth of what happened to this girl he's like obsessed with. And somehow he's already like going to undermine or like diminish what she's going through by making it about him and his
person. Yeah, not cool.
But so going back to people making things about themselves, we have
Ashley.
No, Ellie.
Sorry. Oh.
I mean, maybe Ashley. So Ellie is watching this, you know, her shitty ad, and Marco walks in and he's just like, you know, they're talking about what happened. And Ellie says, did you ever think how hard this would be on me to be in this fake relationship? And again, it's just like, whatever, Ellie. And she asks, Ellie. Like, yeah, he says, like, you're my best friend. And that basically that's what she's going to have to be happy with. Like, that's all they're going to be. And he does tell her, like, I am gay. Like, this is not a question anymore for me. So that's kind of how that ends for this episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, she definitely did make that about herself.
Well, she's like,
somehow.
Which, like, I think she still needed to be like dumped. Like, I don't know. Nothing was enough for her.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's ever enough for Ellie. Ellie will never be happy.
I think she didn't like that he was like confused, and I think like he was like, you know, I'm gay, but he like didn't want to talk about it as much. She's like, I need to know.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like she kind of forced that out in her own way.
Yeah. But she's like, you know, your confusion, like, it makes it hard for me, and I'll maybe try like to understand that your friend's going through something and not mm-hmm. like make him make a decision and just like lay low.
Oh, you mean empathy?
Yeah.
I don't know why they went as far to pretend they were in a relationship. Like, after that episode where, like, you know, she kind of says, like, they had their date and she, like, gives him a kiss in front of the boys. I feel like there was a way that you probably could have spun this where they didn't have to be in a relationship to keep faking it.
Yeah.
I feel like she was just kind of almost being willfully ignorant by, like, just not letting herself believe what was actually in front of her and being like, she'd rather be in this fake relationship for a little bit than just deal with the fact that he is figuring things out for himself.
And, so, you know, for a while, everyone kind of wanted Ellie, so Ellie could have gotten another boyfriend easy.
That's thing. True. I'm just like, all the boys were like really about her when she started. Mm-hmm. So
even Jimmy, her best friend's ex,
and Spinner.
Oh yeah, it's Spinner.
Spinner was really into her earlier this season as well. So I feel like he wasn't even with Paige. Whatever.
You know, I feel like even Sully was like, "Give me a piece of that."
Yeah,
probably.
Sully wants a piece of everything. Come on,
it's true.
We needed more episodes with Sully. They would have been like good B plot episodes, probably. So the episode ends with like Paige going back to Miss Sauvé and saying that, you know, despite the odds, despite not having all of the evidence she would need, she wants to press charges against Dean anyway, just like, if only just to scare him from ever doing this to someone else again. And she says that she will continue with therapy. And when she leaves Miss Sauvé, she runs into Spinner, who, again, with consistency, they actually like acknowledge that he is supposed to be working in the cafeteria during lunch breaks, but he said that he switched a shift to have lunch with Miss Paige, and he even brought her a sandwich, and she asks him out to like the year-end dance. Says, yeah, I know, I owe you a date.
I thought that was cute.
You don't owe him shit, Paige.
Mm-hmm.
You don't owe him shit.
You don't owe him a date.
Oh,
but
yeah, like that, him making you a sandwich and giving you juice was nice. Like, yeah, I thought that was cute.
That was nice.
You don't owe him that.
Yeah, but that's
I hope that sandwich wasn't dry. That sandwich looked dry. I'm just saying, it did not look like the best sandwich. Okay.
It's just, oh yeah, it did not. No, it did not. It really That's why I was like, he made it. I was like, oh, he made those sandwiches. I was like, oh, he made a sandwich. Because I was like, I don't see the meat. I don't see anything on there.
Mm-hmm. Like, will it kill a bitch to put on some mustard, some mayo, some something?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing coming off at the size of that. That Ziploc was way too shiny. Yeah.
Even some Miracle Whip.
Oh.
And I'm not a Miracle Whip person. I hate that stuff.
I hate Miracle Whip. Oh, disgusting.
Respectable choice.
I love me some Hellman's.
Yeah.
Or what's it called on the West Coast?
Dukes.
Best foods.
Ooh, best foods.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
anyway, who is the Claire, everyone?
Are you freaking kidding me? Can you flip a switch and erase me from your memory?
Well, excuse me for having loftier ambitions than just some pedestrian high school assignment.
What are you doing here?
The Claire of this episode.
Definitely Perino and Morgan.
For not being Allison. Here.
Yeah.
See, I really just want to say Ashley for the sake of saying Ashley, because it's always Ashley, but I'm going to say Ellie.
Yeah, I really can't think of anyone else, right? Spinner like, made running, but... mm-hmm. She made, like, Marco's personal journey somehow about her struggle, and I can see Claire doing that.
Okay.
She has done that with other people. So
she just does it all the time. I mean, that's her general premise is,
yeah,
your shit is my shit.
Like Eli going through like a bipolar diagnosis, somehow it's about Claire.
Okay, when I was looking at the fucking the commercial for goddamn Duet, all I could think of was Eli.
Eli was a lot better.
That's the best thing he's ever done.
That's mm-hmm. Art. That, my friend, is art.
That's art.
Ellie, yeah. And I can see Claire maybe at some point being homophobic. So, because we know Ellie's a homophobe.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, that bitch.
She's going to be untaught shit.
Or I can see Claire in one of her, like when she starts yelling about how she's the victim, actually dropping something really offensive and, like, just still thinking it's okay to say that because she feels hurt right now or something.
Yeah. You know, I wouldn't have hurt you if you didn't hurt me.
Yeah.
Hurt people, hurt people.
Hurt people, hurt people.
Ellie Nash.
So definitely we had a clear winner. There weren't really any other options because, like, despite the other plot, I feel like Spinner and JT, like, they weren't the worst they are in this episode. So.
Honestly, this was the best JT's been. This is like JT's shining moment of like not being a horrible person.
Yeah.
No, I did like that, like, at least at some point in the episode, there was like a guy that just like immediately did not question a damn thing. Like, she was like, he
raped me,
attacked me, and he was like, fuck this dude.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like, oh, I wonder if she was asking for it or like making it be like so complex. I'm like, she literally told you what happened.
Yeah. I feel like some of the episodes this season with them have made me like wish they kind of explored their relationship a little more instead of like just having her with Spinner for a very long time.
What would their couple name be? JTeej? Payty?
Yeah. Payty.
Petty.
So that's the episode. We have a Claire. And does someone looking at you want to say the socials?
Why, yes.
I have them pulled up right here for you.
Thank you. All right. Well, listeners, remember, you can always donate to the show, buy us some White Claws or some buffalo wings, anything. We need everything. Also, please rate and review us on any place that you listen to your podcast. And, you know, just share what you like. If you want to share what Degrassi character you are, feel free to. We love to hear it. And if you want to follow us on any of the socials, our email address is lastshiftatthedot@gmail.com. And if you want to follow us on Twitter or Instagram, it's @lastshiftpod.
Yes. Providing Twitter exists at the time you get this.
Yeah, this, who knows?
By the time we edit this, it may be like burnt to the ground.
Yeah. Elon Musk is the Claire.
Yeah, always. He made it all about him. So from us at the dot to you out in Degrassi land, aka Toronto, we know you can make it through. Yay. Goodbye.
Cue the music.